Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bing ba ding bong bing bong. It's suggestible time, everybody.
Wow, finally. That's what I say. It's my favorite time of the week, Claire.
I feel like it's your least favorite time and you're just humoring me for being here.
No, Claire, the least favorite time of this is when the show finishes for me. That's the least favorite time, you know?
Yeah, because I guess so. This is the only time of the week where I actually speak to you.
It's true. Because I know, obviously, you couldn't be speaking to me too much this week. Oh, by the way, this is just suggestible. I'm James. This is Claire. We're married and we suggest things and whatever.
This is not a very good intro.
No, it's a very good intro. Now, you obviously couldn't be speaking to me much this week because you were very busy reading the book Project Hail Mary.
Oh, shit.
Now, for those people who don't know, 2 weeks ago,
Claire. A week is I feel like time has sped up and the space-time continuum has gone weird and I feel like it's been a lot shorter than a week since we last recorded.
There are certainly some similarities in what you're saying to the book Project Hail Mary. I mean, you would know that if you read it.
Okay. The smugness. So you've been holding this. You've been looking at me. Making my breakfast, drinking my coffee, sitting at the kitchen bench.
I have been watching you. I have. I've been like, look what she's doing. She's not reading Project Hail Mary.
No.
She doubled down. So 2 weeks ago, and colleagues, you don't have to put this clip in because you put this clip in last week. Claire said that she would read Project Hail Mary. She said she would definitely do it. Last week, she didn't, obviously, and so we talked about it and I said, this is your chance to just say, I'm not going to read it, and that's fine, and walk away. But no, and here's the clip. This is you doubling down. So you could double down and say you're going to read it by next week.
Yes.
Or you could say, I will not read this book.
God damn it, I'm going to read the bloody book. Okay. I'm going to do it.
As you can see, you insisted. No. Thank you for putting that in, Collings. And now here's an opportunity for you. Is another out. Just say you're not going to read it.
No, I'm definitely reading it. No, I am leaning in. After this is finished, I am not going to go and watch the delightful documentary I was planning to watch on Netflix. I am going to download this miserable book onto my Kindle and I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it now because if I don't do it tonight, I won't do it.
You can't read
it. I will forget. I just will completely forget. I'm going to write Hail Mary on my face, on the mirror. Mm-hmm. And it just flitted out of my mind like a bird.
Claire, we don't need to have this conversation. We had this conversation last week. So we don't need to have this conversation
again.
It's
poor listeners. They're living in Groundhog Day.
Yeah, poor them.
Exactly. Except the groundhog is me. And what else is in the Groundhog Day?
Well, Bill Murray.
Bill Murray. And the book is Bill Murray.
Andy McDowell.
And Andy McDowell. Oh, I don't like her. She's not really.
Sure. Involved. Did you hear a story? I saw a story this week.
I don't know anything about Andy McDowell. I feel bad that I said that now. She's fine.
She's in four weddings and a funeral.
I know. She's got great hair.
So there's been a lot of people coming out and telling stories about Bill Murray, but more like Bill Murray's mean. And one of them this week was Seth Green. You know Seth Green?
Mm-hmm.
He's a little redhead guy. He's Austin. He's in Austin Powers. Rich. He's Dr. Evil's son.
He was also in some kind of teen show.
He's in a bunch of teen. He was in. He was in Can't Hardly Wait. He's in a bunch of stuff.
That's where I know him from. That is my main reference.
He's Robot Chicken. He's doing a Robot Chicken and all that. Anyways, he said that he went on Saturday Night Live as a performer, as a child performer when he was 9. And Bill Murray came into the room and said, "That's my chair." As I was watching TV, and he was sitting on the edge, like the arm of a couch. And he's like, "No, there's a couch. I'm sitting here or whatever." And they got in this argument. And so Bill Murray picked him up by the ankles and put him in the bin. And he said, "Trash goes in the trash." And he put a child in the bin. Oh, and he was like crying and upset. And Eddie was like, he ran off and hid under a table. And Eddie Murphy had to come over and be like, "Hey, don't worry about Bill Murray. He sucks. Just, you're a professional. You can do this or whatever." So.
Oh, no.
So Bill Murray. Maybe famously terrible or something.
No, because I thought he was like fun and eccentric. Yeah, I mean,
as a joke, it's like that could be like a fun thing, but that's fucking psycho.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Is there no one left in the industry that's any good?
No, you can't rely on anybody to either read a book or be a decent person. Claire, what are you recommending this week? Probably something you have watched, maybe.
My feelings. Mm. All right, well, you wait. You'll see.
But you're going to come back. See. You can't throw it in my face because, like, I want you to read it, Claire. This is what I want. I'll be proud of you, Claire.
I hate that phrase.
All right. As opposed to the disappointment.
He is using the phrase that I feel bad because I'm currently making this midget project thing and James just keeps telling me, did I already tell this story on the show, that you're proud of me and it's lovely and very heartfelt and I just find it incredibly patronizing and I hate it and I get really mad at you.
But then you,
I know, the dog's like agreeing with me or not agreeing with me. Ollie. Stop it.
Ollie's got her own rivalry going with a possum.
Yeah, oh my God. There is a massive possum in our tree. There's no leaves on the tree.
Yeah, it's back.
And it's sitting at the top. Mm. I thought for a minute there was some kind of like handbag in the tree. And I'm like, can't be a handbag. It's a possum.
Couldn't be a handbag.
Its tail is taking over like three branches.
Ooh.
I don't know. Could They're getting bigger around here, I'm telling you, these possums. Anyway, back to the story about the proud thing. Now you are starting to write this cool short film that's
early days and it might not happen.
It is, I know. But all I want to say is that now I, every time I look at you and you're all working away on it, I'm like, I'm so proud of him. And I feel really bad that I've been like poo-pooing every time you say proud of me.
You better not tell me I'm proud because I know you won't mean it because I don't mean it. So that's how it works.
Oh, no.
Anyway, what's your first recommendation?
Oh, yes. All right. Excellent. Okay. So I'm so excited about this one. Heartbreak High, James.
Claire, this was a show from the 90s to early 2000s.
It was.
Did you watch that? Did you watch the original Heartbreak High?
I certainly did. Was very much in love with Drazik, had an eyebrow ring and was absolutely fabulous and gorgeous in lots of ways. So for those who aren't from Australia, let me paint the picture for you. Heartbreak High was a teen drama, obviously Australian. It had bad boys, leather jackets wearing IDGAF boys, in fact. I know.
That's crazy.
Exactly. And it's a high school, really. And Drazik was kind of the ringleader who would, like, tell the teachers to rack off.
He'd say, rack off.
Yeah, exactly. And at the time.
Drazik's now in Marvel and DC movies and stuff.
Oh, really?
Batman killed him with a gun.
Wowza.
Well, he fought Captain America in an elevator.
I see. Goodness. Yeah. That's the actor, Callan Mulvey.
Oh, I know. He's the patron saint of our podcast.
Yes. Is he really?
No, he is.
Oh. Is he really?
Yeah. I mean, no, he doesn't know that, but yes, he is.
Wow. He's the patron saint of my heart too.
Good.
There we go. Yeah. I knew we were married for a reason. Got him in common. Anyway, and so there was this constant on and off screen girlfriend that he had, played by Lara Cox, called Anita. And the show had a lot of kind of really quite explicit drug references and at the time very risque storylines. So a lot of parents were up in arms about the fact that their kids were watching Heartbreak High because it was on after school.
Oh, yeah.
And so a lot of people were banned from watching it, hence everyone loved it even more. And it had a really awesome soundtrack with bands like The Screaming Jets, Front Eight, Chocolate Starfish and Baby Animals.
Loving all of that, Claire.
Yeah, and there were just like shopping malls when the actors came to appear with just like thousands of teenagers turning up. Yeah. It was massive here. It was massive. And I loved it, especially for Drazik's eyebrow ring. Now, fast forward many a moon later, I'm no longer a teenager. I'm a 37-year-old woman. And I did not want to watch this because I thought, a remake of something I loved so much.
Is it a remake or is it a continuation?
I guess you would say, well, there's none of the same characters in it. So it's not a remake.
It's not the same skew.
No, but it's got a similar vibe. But it's been updated, I would say, is the best way of saying it. And it is much more progressive.
Sure.
The cast is much more diverse. I would say it's also.
It was a pretty diverse cast, like for then, because there was a Greek guy in it.
Yeah.
But it's more. It seems
now
like it's more
really
diverse.
More
now,
diverse. Yeah. But also, it's diverse from a gender and sexuality perspective as well. And a lot of the storylines are quite explicit. So it's not really a movie that if you were a teenager, you would want to watch anywhere near your parents unless they were like super open-minded because it does go quite full on in different places and there are a lot of drug references and all of the things. So it's been adapted for Netflix by Hannah Carroll Chapman and it follows the students and teachers of Hartley High as they navigate racial tensions in Australia, high school romances and all sorts of teen angst. It came out on the 14th of September in 2022. Now it opens after a map detailing the sexual exploits of Hartley High students is discovered, graffitied on the wall of the school, and all of the students whose names were on it are forced to attend a new sexual education course called the Sexual Literacy Tutorial, which they then kind of put into an acronym as SLUTS class. And so the map's creator is Amory Wadia, played by Aisha Madden, and she's kind of the lead character. She is so great and very funny in this. And she also, little known musical Fangirls, which sort of exploded here. I interviewed the writer of that, Eve Blake, who was mentored by T. Minchin. Aisha's actually in that. So I saw her perform a couple of years ago in the Fangirls musical when she was pretty much an unknown.
Now
she's everywhere.
That's awesome.
And she was fabulous in that. And there's actually also another cast member as well.
Who does Eve play? A student?
No, Eve's not in it.
Oh, okay.
No,
sorry.
I mean Aisha was in the production of Fangirls.
Oh, I gotcha, okay, gotcha. Okay, yeah.
Eve Blake's original production. And that Fangirls musical has since gone on to win awards and be played at the Sydney Opera House.
Yeah, it's huge, yeah.
But at the time, I went and saw it in a little theatre. It's not that little, it's famous, but it's quite small. The Belvoir Street Theatre in Sydney. And it had like a limited run. So I saw it, so the cast were really unknowns then. And, so Aisha plays Amory so well, and her character becomes a social outcast after taking the fall, even though her best friend, who also drew the map of everyone's sexual exploits, Harper McLean, played by Asha Yasbinsek, has stopped talking to her following a tragedy at a music festival they attended. So the two are best friends. They create this map. It comes out that the map is discovered, and at the same time they have this big falling out, and it kind of, you feel like something happened at the music festival, and Amory doesn't know what it is, but Harper, who's kind of a punk kind of vibe, I guess, turns up at school with a shaved head and is not talking to anyone and has a whole lot of attitude happen.
Ooh, attitude.
Correct. So then it kind of
unfolds. That's the jumping off point.
So
it doesn't feel like these are just new characters you just met. It's like, there's history here.
Totally. Mm. And I think the map is really clever because it really outlines straight up, wow, this is going to be, a lot about sort of sex, basically. The whole show, and how teenagers are kind of exploring their sexuality and gender roles and friendship, and costuming is awesome. The soundtrack is awesome. It's got that really 90s aesthetic, which is all back in again, which is making me sound like a really old lady, but that's what I really loved about this. And another one of the cast members of Fangirls is non-binary, and James Majuse plays Darren Rivers, who is a queer and non-binary student who becomes really close with Amory. So their storyline becomes really prominent as well. And they're fantastic. And I remember seeing them on stage and being utterly blown away by their performance, and actually accidentally bump into them when they were getting picked up by their parents on the street.
What?
Yes. And I stood there and tried
to say anything?
Yeah, I did. I just said, I really loved your performance. That was really awesome. And they really, not blanked me, but just like were really like, okay, lady.
Okay, old woman.
Yeah, okay, old woman. Because they're all, I don't know if they're teenagers now, but they're very clearly early 20s.
Yeah.
And I was just out there being like, you are fantastic. Well done. Anyway, lovely. So really cool. Other cast members include Chloe Hayden as Quinny Gallagher-Jones, Darren's lesbian best friend who is autistic. Now, Chloe's really interesting too. She's autistic in real life and is an influencer on Instagram as well, and is a really creative, incredible person in her own right. And I think it's so fantastic that they have an autistic character being played by someone who is autistic.
Yeah.
I think that's been a really smart choice. And
definitely,
she's also incredibly charismatic and funny in this, and sweet and just absolutely adorable. So she's one of my favorite characters actually in this. And I think it's played so beautifully. And she depicts what it's like to live with autism and high functioning autism, I would say. They've written it in such a way where you really get into her mindset and understand the challenges that are facing her as well. And it's just beautiful. It's really beautifully done and really moving, and also breaks down some kind of stereotypes that you think people might have about people with autism as well. And, so super refreshing.
I hate a lot of the depictions of autism. I've talked about this a bit It's just like people slapping their heads when there's like loud noises or whatever. You know?
Yeah, there's none of that. This is really interesting. It's someone...
Or it's a superpower. It's like, oh, I can count all the pins on this board or whatever.
Correct. Yeah, and it's not like that at all. She's this really interesting, highly creative person who's very funny and also is really obsessed about this particular book series. That so she likes to dress up.
Is it a real book series?
I don't know. I haven't looked it up. But she goes to the signing and there's an episode where they follow her storyline particularly and really show what it's like for her to be in a restaurant setting and she's on this date with someone she really likes and then because of the over-the-top kind of sounds and she gets overwhelmed by, like overstimulated by everyone around her, she can cope with it but she shuts down. And so the person who's on the date with thinks she's being rude when actually she's just not coping with all of that overstimulation. And so it's just so much more accurate, I think. Anyway, so she's fantastic. There is also a very, very gorgeous Australian model who has now since had his like face plastered everywhere.
Right.
Joshua Houston, who plays Dusty, and he's, I guess, your equivalent of the Drazic kind of character.
Right.
Yeah, he's just sort of exploded everywhere, really. Oh, God, that sounded awful. I didn't mean like that. As in,
what's
his
name? I want to see how handsome this dude is.
Character is called Dusty, and he is Joshua Houston.
Oh, that's right.
He actually said his mum used to watch Heartbreak High.
Oh.
So he's one of the breakout stars as well, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's in lots of other stuff.
Yeah.
As well, but there's also Sherry Lee Watson plays Missy Beckett, who's an Indigenous student involved with Sasha, and that's really refreshing too. There's actually two Indigenous characters in this as well. Another one played by Thomas Weatherall as Malachi Mitchell, who's a bisexual Bundjalung basketball jock.
Right.
And he also kind of has a relationship with the lead character, Amory. And so that is also something really cool. They bring in First Nations culture in a way that's kind of casual.
Mm.
Really, there's so much about this to love. Like there's just, it's not kind of a main part of the storyline even. It's kind of done in a way that's really, feels really grounded. And
yeah,
the script
absolutely.
Is excellent.
Well, that's really good to hear.
Yeah, there are some really traumatic storyline. So it does go
Heartbreak
to quite dark
places.
Always
kind of done stuff. Well, again, it hasn't been on TV since like 1999. But yeah.
Yeah, it's not quite as, it's not Euphoria.
No.
It doesn't go as far as Euphoria, but it's on the road towards
Damn,
Euphoria.
This dude is good looking and he's 25. He shouldn't even be at school.
I know. Yeah, I think they're all in their kind of early 20s. Yeah. It feels, so you know how like the OC was, like there were a few little dark storylines, but overall it's pretty shiny.
It was mostly them being on the run, driving in the sun, looking
correct.
Out for number one.
Exactly, wearing chinos or something.
Yeah.
But so it's darker than the OC, but I would say the age of the actors seem cut. It's that similar sort of vibe. They're playing, you know, students, but
yeah.
It does 42. Feel a bit more realistic than that. But yeah, they're really, really excellent. And they also do really well at, I think, dealing with some really important themes as well. Mm. It's quite educational around consent and themes of sexual violence and what it means to be in a relationship with someone and how to do that in a way that is safe for both parties. And so they actually do genuinely talk and educate about STDs and all of that sort of stuff.
Cool.
And sharing images online and the impact of that on other people and just talking about people who, like, there are characters in the show. There's a character who is asexual. There's characters who are bisexual. There's characters who are non-binary. And that's kind of interesting, I think, to explore as well. I feel like if some parents of teenagers watched it, it might send them into an early grave.
So
to be honest, it's a bit terrifying. But anyway, I'd highly recommend it. It's great.
All right, cool.
Heartbreak High.
I probably will check this out because I like Heartbreak High and I will watch second Heartbreak High.
I think you'll really actually.
Well, Heartbreak High, there was actually the Heartbreak Kid and then there was Heartbreak High. And now there's Heartbreak High again, Heartbreak.
I see. I wonder if Heartbreak High last time was Hadley High School. Is it the same?
No idea.
I can't remember that bit. I'd love you to watch this though. I'd love to know what you think of it.
It sounds like something I would like because I love watching 25-year-olds pretend that they're 16. I'm a big fan. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Claire?
James.
I read this comic a while ago, but it's been on my list of things to talk about, but I'm here to talk about the book Mouse by Art Spiegelman. Now, if you're a comics aficionado, maybe you even know a little bit of comics, this is one of the most famous graphic novels of all time. And here is the synopsis, Claire.
Here he goes.
As you like to say. So it's a nonfiction. This nonfiction book is presented in graphic novel style, written by American cartoonist Art Spiegelman. It depicts Spiegelman interviewing his father about his experiences as a Polish Jew and Holocaust survivor. So it tells that story in two time periods. It's set in 1978 and also during World War II. Except in the book, anybody who's Jewish is depicted as a mouse, and anybody who is a Nazi is a cat. It's a metaphor, I'm sure, also. So it kind of looks like, oh yeah, this is a book about cats and mice and there's pig people in it and whatever, but it's a true story told in this kind of slightly fantastical way. And what's interesting about the art is, I should have brought it in because it's in the other, I don't have it to show you, Claire, but Art Spiegelman, who's in his 70s now, he has a lazy eye, so he lacks like depth perception. So as a result of that, his work is described as the artistry as labored simplicity with dense visual motifs. And I guess for lack of a better way of explaining it, it's very kind of clear and precise. Like, you know, a lot of comics, you might see a lot of like movement and muscles and musculature and all of those things. This is not that. This is more kind of like, I can't even explain it. Just Google it, Claire. It's good. It's really good. But as mentioned, it's set in two time periods, 1978, and this is when he's interviewing his father about his father's experiences back in World War II. Now, the thing about his father is even though that he survived World War II with his mother, who's no longer, who by the time 1978 rolls around has died, you find out why in the book, he's clearly experienced like incredible trauma and he's just gone through. You just see the things that he's go through to survive, like the hiding and the like changing his identity and, you know, and kind of bluffing his way through and watching the Nazis and their regime kind of creep in and kind of strip away the rights of people slowly. And you see the different reactions where some people are like, well, we should leave now, or I don't think it's gonna get any worse than this or whatever, or surely, you know, this can't be happening, et cetera. And you see this and you see it from this man's you see this man's experience unfold, but also his father's like, he's stubborn and he's mean and he's like set in his ways and people don't really like him. Like he's not beloved by, he's got a new wife who doesn't like him at all and she doesn't like him. And he also doesn't really think his story's worth telling. So he's like telling this story so like matter-of-factly and it's just horrendous, you know, and things that he's like, it's incredible the things that he did to survive and seeing this story unfold, but he's just kind of so nonchalant about it. You know, he's just kind of like, you know, it's just a thing that, it's just I did, and you know, it's just why do you want to write any of this down? But it's also, that's coupled with his son's story and his experience growing up as the son of Holocaust survivors, and also he's a struggling artist, so he's got that generational trauma on top of that, and he's also, you know, endured a lot, you know, hearing these stories and also growing up with these people and his own experiences in New York, in, you know, in growing up and into the 70s. Now it's obviously amazing. Everybody knows this, Claire. You're staring blankly, but it's been amazing since it came out in the 80s. I think it actually finished in the early 90s. In the US recently, there's been a move in some schools to ban this book because it's considered like it's political in nature.
Really?
There's a bunch of that shit going on. But and you know, it's kind of not appropriate to be told, but it's ridiculous because this is it's cats and mice, but you don't even. You forget that. It's not, it's just more of as a, I think it's more of like a visual distinction. So when you're looking at something, you know who somebody is immediately, you know, it's not like, oh, here comes the Nazi or, you know, cause it's a cat, you know?
Actually, I don't like cats. I know, controversial. I've been in trouble before for saying that.
You had a cat, Claire. You liked that cat.
We probably got more emails about that from the time on the episode when I said I don't like cats than any other time.
Well, I just want to say that I'm indifferent to cats. So if you're going to send any hate, send it Claire's way.
Oh, good
But there's
Lord.
Different cats, like dogs, have different personalities apparently.
That is very true. And I actually think my judgment is clouded because I'm sort of semi-allergic to cats.
Sure. Well, that would definitely be a factor.
Correct.
So, yeah, the idea that these this book is being banned is ridiculous, because not only is like this story a story that, you know, is important and should be told and should be read about, all stories like this, you know, they serve a place in history as a warning, as you know, as being aware of other people's experiences, as being aware of like a certain time in history, as you see these patterns like repeat themselves, you know, and they have for thousands of years. And I just think it's obviously really great. It's really important. It's also got a big Nazi symbol on the front with a cat face on it. So don't leave it out, because people might be like, what the fuck is this Nazi cat book that you're reading? If you didn't know what it was, you'd be like, what is this?
I've seen that on your shelf. Yeah. I've seen you reading it. You told me all about it.
It's great. It's grim. It's like, it sucks because it's so grim.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's real, like, it's just, it's, and the only, I'd known about it for years, but then when I heard that, you know, in certain places they were banning it, that was the push for me to go, I'm going to buy this. Like, I've been meaning to. I don't really buy a lot of physical comics, but I'm going to get this one, and I'm going to read it, and I have, and it's, again, it's terrible, but it's good. It's really terrific. Good. Yeah.
Excellent. That actually, I will never read it, but I have picked it up and looked at the art style, and it is really fascinating.
Yeah.
I see what you mean.
Mm.
You love grim shit, my friend.
Well, yeah. I think it's only like, because it's like, it's so much more grim, obviously, because it's real, you know, it's just, and I don't know, because like you hear the stories and you hear like the numbers, you know what I mean? You hear the stories of concentration camps, and we even visited one when we were in Europe. But just like telling this personal story is just a different perspective, you know. It's not just numbers. It's like, it's individuals, it's families, you know, it's friends, it's people turning on each other or helping each other. It's all of these different elements.
Well, I don't know if you've listened. There's an episode of Tonts where I speak to a really close, good friend of ours, Shan Darling.
Yeah.
And her family are Holocaust survivors.
Mm.
And she tells the story of how her grandfather in the Holocaust lost his wife and daughter. Yeah. So they were taken. So he went out to get bread one morning and came back, and they'd been taken by the Nazis and murdered. And he, in his latter years, he obviously remarried, but there was a lot of silence in their home. And she goes into that kind of feeling of this strange idea as a child, because they came here as refugees, that someone really hated her, like this little man in a far off country. And she didn't understand the context of that, or whether he was alive or dead or not, just that she sort of had this vague idea that he hated her because she was Jewish.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'd really thought about it from that perspective, from someone that you know and their story of what that would be like. We've got our own family's histories, you know, but having that story. And then she goes in to say
it's
that.
It's so close. Like, it's not.
Yeah, it's so close, right? It's you're right. There's the numbers, and then there's really listening to people's stories, which is I think what I love about my job with Tonts. I just get to hear people's stories. What she said was really interesting. In his latter years, he got dementia, and so he started just talking about how his wife and daughter were coming for dinner all the time, and they'd be like setting places at the table.
God damn!
And having his her grandmother would take her outside, and she'd be asking questions like, who are these people coming for dinner? And so her grandmother had to kind of explain to her why her grandfather was feeling the way he was. And and when you really think about that, yeah, you're right. It's like, and that's one story of millions.
Yeah.
Mm. So, and it is, if you start really thinking about it, it's terrifying because it.
And just this whole idea that, and it's, I mean, it's always been there, but it seems more prominent, the fact that like, I can't understand how you could be like, this didn't happen, or it wasn't as severe as people like, because it's so obvious. So obviously did. It's just disgusting that you could just flat out just say something like that. You know, it's just, I don't.
It's the danger that we're living in at the moment. We've talked about,
and there's that removal, because it's been 80 odd years now, whatever it is. Yeah. So there is, and that generation is like, they're dying. Like, there's not a lot of them left. You know, whereas when we were kids. You know, there was a lot of, you know, people of that era, you know?
Yeah,
they're like our grandparents who are now mostly dead. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's full, man.
Full. Anyway, you got it's something cheery, Claire?
I do actually. Oh, let's bring up the mood a little. Huh. Please, James. I think I brought it further. You started it on the downward incline and I really drove it home.
I just wanted to talk about the cool art.
Yeah. It is very cool, actually. Yeah. All right, so I want to talk about something fun. So a couple of weeks ago, my brother and sister took me to one of our favorite podcasts, Chat 10 Looks 3.
Disagree.
With journalist Lee Sales and Annabelle Crabb, who are amazing. And I've talked about this show on the podcast before. They're two women. So Lee Sales was the lead anchor of 7:30, which is kind of like a current affairs show here. One of the most respected journalists in Australia, I would suggest. Mm-hmm, she interviews every politician ever and all the prime ministers and all the things, and is just a powerhouse of a person plus an amazing author. And Annabelle Crabb is a political commentator and also amazing author and just hilarious in her own right. Anyway, the two of them have had this podcast for years where they talk about things they're watching and looking at and reading and cooking and all of the things. Sounds very similar to ours, actually.
Yeah, except,
anyway, they've developed this beautiful community based around their kind of shared love of books and, you know, film and content. Anyway, it was awesome. And during that live show, they came on because they're both, I would say, they're in their like late 40s.
Yeah, like that sounds about right. Yeah.
They came dancing onto some music, some like Ibiza dance music, which was a little, like a lot ridiculous, but, you know, great shtick. That's, you know, leaning into their shtick. Anyway, and then Lee kind of buried the lead for the whole show about why they danced to this music. She's like, I'm going to tell you why we were dancing to techno from Ibiza or whatever. And then she gets to the end of the show and she tells the story about this New Yorker article that she read.
Mm.
And I just found it so interesting, so I wanted to quickly mention. So the New Yorker article is about a DJ called Solomon, who is known as the King of Ibiza. And he has been performing at Ibiza since 2013, and he plays solely at the island's oldest nightclub, Pasha. Yeah, so at least 20 Sundays a year. But the reason it's so fascinating to me, other than the fact that, like, the whole article is really well written and 3,000 people will go and see him perform on a night, a table close to the front will cost 20,000 euros.
Why?
For an evening. And he plays from midnight to 7 a.m. And he's very Catholic apparently, and he's like 6 foot, and I think he's in his 40s now. He's German.
Right.
And I just kind of like, he's like very specific with the kind of music style he performs with, and people, he might invite celebrities come and DJ with him. But
like James Blunt?
No, but you
can. Who lives on Ibiza apparently.
But he wouldn't though, because he only will invite someone if he deems them to be worthy have the ability to run the DJ decks. I mean, maybe he's played with James Blunt, but I find it really just fascinating because he also drinks up to 30 shots of tequila during the night.
That's too many and cannot be true.
Oh, but he's huge. Like, what's his name? Tall. Solomon.
King of Hedonism is his name?
Yeah, that's it. And he's got a very specific technique for creating this dance music, and he's supposedly like – it's crazy. They'll like fly him in on private jets and, you know, he's just – I just find it so fascinating. He's just this like –
that guy is huge.
Yeah, he's really, really tall. And also apparently with no visible change in his sobriety, he will drink 30 shots of tequila and just be completely stoic, like same straight up and down.
I do not believe that this guy can drink 30 shots of tequila.
I don't know. I reckon he's an odd duck. 30
standard drinks over 6 hours.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
The writer followed him around. He is a crippling alcoholic, if that is true.
I don't know. He seems to me to be a really interesting character. Like, there's lots of things about him having to have like a completely dark room when before he gets into bed or something, and just like some really funny.
He's got 1.5 million followers.
Yeah, he's ginormous, and I find that so entertaining, and also really interesting that he's got this particular, and that's not really my music that I listen to, but he, because he's deeply Catholic, he kind of has this idea of himself as being like the leader of
church. Right?
Yeah, it's church. Yeah or a shaman.
He's Solomon Live, and the live is made into a T, like a cross.
Yeah. And he kind of builds, his whole premise is that he takes dancers on a journey. He believes dancers want to be taken on a journey. So
sure, I'd believe
that. He starts his set at midnight, plays till 6 or 7 a.m. or something, and during that time he takes them on this kind of epic journey.
Mm.
But I just find people who are incredibly dedicated to one specific thing fascinating.
This guy's going to die doing this year.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what did that have to do with
Lisa was just super fascinated by it.
Oh, okay.
And then
they weren't like, and here he is.
No, no, that's what I thought might have been happening. No, she just thought it was, and it just became really hilarious because clearly she like has never been to a night. Like she listens to classical music and plays a cello. Like it's just not her vibe. And, but she said she listened to it because she loves music. Like she's a big music fan. And so
I mean, you'd have to be absolutely pinging to stand there for 7 hours, though, yeah, right? I don't think I could. So. I couldn't handle that sober.
I don't know, but if it was the right type of music, I can dance.
I absolutely could not.
Yeah, I know you couldn't, but I could. If I was in the right atmosphere, I wouldn't even have to be drunk. Mm. I would just be loving it, loving myself, sick on the waves of energy.
You at midnight till 7 a.m.
No,
definitely.
I wouldn't. Not now. My God. It's like 9:30 and I'm like, I need to go to bed.
Do you remember when we were in the Greek islands and the place that we stayed at, this is over 10 years ago, and there was a dude from, I think he was from San Francisco there called Steve, and he would come out every summer for the summer and he'd run this resort with one of the local guys.
He was like beetroot.
He was like, he was beetroot. He'd been doing it for like 20 years. So he was... He seemed really old, but he was probably like early 40s, which is fast
at the time we were like, ooh.
And he was just like, oh, I'm just going to have a quiet one tonight. And then every night he would just get absolutely fucking blotto. And he was just like, yeah, you know, I said last year was going to be my last season and whatever. He's still there. I bet he's still there. I bet if I found this place, I'd have to go through like the, through some old notes and whatever. But I reckon I 100% if he's not dead, he is there.
Yeah. But I did feel that because it was a bit of a
it was a trap. You can see how people like that. A lot of people, the older people you met there, like it's just like, yeah, I was gonna get married and then I came here and then I never left. And now they're like 55 or whatever. Which is fine, man, whatever you want to do.
It sort of feels a bit like what is that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, The Beach? Or
it was like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's so easy. It's so easy to just we met our friend and party. Phil there. Our good friend Phil. We called ourselves the team and we traveled around for ages. Ate a lot of ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was an incident with a bicycle and like a night out. It was just very fun.
I remember I had Greek moonshine, which was one of the worst things I've ever drunk. But it was super cheap and we were broke. So it was like €3 for like six shots or whatever it was. And I remember I bought it with like another guy and I didn't know this guy. I have no idea who he was to this day. But we both had a shot and he immediately vomited, like straight away. It was like, it wasn't even a pause. Like he put it back and then he just vomited everywhere. It was horrendous.
Oh, so awful.
I could really drink. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I remember woke up in the morning just walking down the road. But he so clearly just been walking but just came to.
I remember something hilarious, which there was a guy that was talking to you for a while. And I don't know if you remember this. We were out. You were just like chatting or whatever. And you're like, this is a friendly guy or whatever. And he was like chatting and chatting and chatting. And then I came over and like I held your hand or gave you a kiss or something. And he just fucking vanished.
Yeah.
Like he just like – and you were like, oh, man, I thought we were friends. And he just like a ghost. He was gone. There was like a cloud of smoke in his shape where he was sitting.
It was like
and I didn't come over to be like, this is my lady or whatever. I'm just like, I don't care, Claire. I don't care, Claire's talking to a guy or whatever.
That used to happen to me a bit because I've got a very friendly face and I just like talking to people.
I don't think it's because you've got a friendly face. You're just a friendly person, Claire.
Yes. Well, yeah. Well, exactly. I'm a friendly person. Yeah. But I do, it's disappointing.
A lot of guys, and I think maybe it's not the same as you get older. It's like, yeah, they do have that, like there's that ulterior motive often or like an expectation that this could, you know.
Yeah, which is really annoying, right? Because actually, why can't you just have a chat with someone and not have an agenda? Though I guess at a nightclub in the Greek islands,
it's a good point, actually.
It's probably fair enough. I probably should have said from the outset, my boyfriend's here. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it does annoy me because I do think that men and women can be friends.
Absolutely.
And I
don't think that's uncommon. Yeah.
No, you know, so it's annoying. But I guess, I guess as you get older too, it's different. It's interesting, all of that. So there you go. Oh, God. Anyway, we should go back to the Greek islands.
We probably are. It'd be just the same, I'd imagine.
It's completely the same.
Enough of them. We've got to move on. There was a dude, and you were there, and Phil was there. We couldn't stop laughing. He was like, he was so burnt. He was like, literally, it was purple. Like, it was just like, and we were just like, oh, my God, what have you done? He looked like a leather bag.
He was just sitting at a lovely fancy restaurant eating a big lobster.
Yeah.
With his wife, who was dressed in a lovely sundress and was like a normal color. And he literally.
He was. I'm like, how is this dude even out?
Like, I thought he should be in a hospital.
Maybe he had a skin condition. I don't know. But he was like. He looked like sun.
But there were a few.
He was redder than the lobster he was eating.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's we should actually wrap it up. We should really move on.
But anyway, if you ever go to Ibiza, Solomon.
Yeah.
Apparently, Solomon. Yeah, and Lee Sales did a really hilarious review of the music. She started off by just saying, "So I think it's quite danceable."
Quite danceable. I bet.
Which I loved. Then she compared it to a bed because you like lay a sheet on and then you might take the sheet off. Then you lay a sheet on and a blanket on, then you take it off. It's just a really great analogy for what that kind of dance music is. And people, I'm butchering this because I don't know anything about dance music. And it's just a whole world I don't understand. So I'm really sorry if I've even used the wrong terminology for all of it. But cool. It's going to be in New Yorker. Go check it out.
I will. Claire, do you know you can review the show? It's just Ollie, we're trying to talk about how to review the
show. Why is she back? Oh, it's the possum. The
possum's back.
I bet that's the bloody possum that's eating my seedlings again.
Probably.
It won't eat my garlic or my flowers or my herbs.
Do you want me to hit it with a rake?
No, God. We'll get in trouble.
I don't know if we have a rake.
I think you should go get a BB gun and shoot it down.
Maybe I will.
No, I don't mean that.
This is from
don't eat your possum.
This is from O Gross 85. Do you know, Claire? Did you know this? You can actually review this in app, just like O Gross 85 has.
Just give it
5 stars. Whatever app you're listening on, I read them out. I've only got a couple left again, so if people want to get these in, that'd be great. A thoroughly entertaining and informative, even if Claire keeps inciting lengthy discussions in order to edge out subturtles. Subturtles shan't be silenced, Claire. But yeah, great pod.
Hey, what do you want from me? I did a bloody rap. I did an Ninja Turtles rap.
No.
No, it did happen. I did it.
All right. What do you got, Claire, in terms of letters for this week?
Ooh, excellent. I have a lovely letter from Chiara Giamatteo.
All right, let's go. Yes.
Okay, so suggestible, the King's Jester. Hi, Claire and James. Hope all is well. As a suggestible this week, I have to recommend Hasan Minhaj's new comedy special on Netflix, The King's Jester.
Oh.
Hasan is an amazing comedian storyteller, and the way he put – I actually think another person already recommended this one, and I read it out last week.
Okay. Keep going.
Oh, no, Chiara. Sorry. But
let's
anyway. And the way he pivots from heartfelt to hilarious is a masterclass. This new special also deals with a lot of the pitfalls and power of internet clout. His show Patriot Act as well as Fatherhood, which I think you'll enjoy. If you haven't seen his first special, Homecoming King, you should definitely watch that and Patriot Act too. That's it from me. Thank you as always for your amazing show, which always gives me a laugh and some encouragement no matter what I'm facing. Happy watching, Chiara.
Have we talked about – was this last week?
Yes. No, so last week I didn't read out that review. Another person, Davishish, also recommended The King's Jester. Remember? This is the one. So
I still haven't watched it yet, but yes.
Yeah, I feel like anyone who listens to this, including myself, definitely needs to watch this because we've had two people recommend
two
the same thing.
Separate recommendations.
Very close together.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
It totally does. Well, thank you so much, Cara, for writing in. You too can write in with a suggestible to suggestiblepod@gmail.com with your recommendations or even with a voice note if you want to just record yourself saying hello on your voice memo app and send it to us. We would love that. Or just send us a letter.
Send us a letter. Read it out on the show. And then we'll have a letter. That's right.
We will.
Wow. What an episode, Claire. We've taken both ourselves and the listeners on a wonderful journey and we're going to get messages about cats and that's your fault. But not my fault.
And Nazis. And I probably said something else terrible. I can't remember now. Oh, yeah. Possums. I said we should shoot a possum. I don't mean that.
You don't mean it?
Not today.
All right.
But if it eats my bloody seedlings again, I tell you what. I'm
you will
coming
shoot a possum.
For it.
I understand. All right. Thanks,
okay,
everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.
Thanks, Collins, for the edit.
And we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.